here we are again.
DMH, Mobile Charter City.
NA DMH, NA DDS.
Cancel today due to lack of interest, and go home and do nothing.
I can get on board with that. I'm literally just pulling out of my driveway. That's how behind I am.
The only reason why I'm behind is because I spent like 30 minutes at our shop trying to find fuse taps, mini fuse taps, only to find out that we don't have any. I tore my entire van apart basically to figure out if I had any stashed away somewhere. Don't have any, so guess we're stopping at an auto parts store when one opens. On the way to Alpena.
On the plus side, you know where everything else is at now.
I know everything else that I don't need is. Everything that I need is gone.
Hey, that's good information to have.
It's
lodge a complaint with the quartermaster.
We got three mobile installs and two 24 to 12 for the converters, so hopefully I don't need the third one. I must have scared him off. Any DMH mobile.
I think we disconnected there for a second. All I heard was the double, what I thought was a double. You said you had three mobile installs, and then I came back and asked, you had three mobile installs.
Oh. I unkeyed and there was just nothing there. Fun times.
I know you probably don't mess with them, but I'm patiently waiting for this next batch of mobile rigs to come out for amateur, I should say.
Yeah. It'd be nice. Kind of wish that Kenwood was still more serious about their amateur rigs. But, they haven't released an updated ham mobile in, what, over 10 years?
I've got my pre-order in for the, what the hell is it called? M-something-something-something 50, 750, whatever. It's basically a THD 75 on steroids for mobile use. But they kept saying summer of 25. Well, we're coming into fall of 25, and they haven't even released a working prototype that I'm aware of.
That's unfortunate. Either way, whenever they release one, I will not have, I don't have the funds for one of those right now, so. Oh, unless I sold one of these rigs, but knowing that it's Kenwood, it's probably going to be $400 more expensive than it needs to be.
Yep, I'm not sure how these HTs are encroaching smartphone pricing, but here we are.
For real, like, why are these portables this expensive? Is there a quantum computer in there, man? Like, come on. My phone has more brains than this ham radio does. Why is the price comparable?
The problem is people keep buying them. I'm guilty of it. Like, that, I saw the release of the 75 and 2023, I think. Maybe a little bit 2022, I don't remember. I waited a long time for it, and then as soon as it came out, I got it. And I feel like it's intentional. They build the hype around this crap, and everyone wants it. It releases, you pre-order, and then they sell out, and then it's the exclusivity, and you got to wait for them to restock, so you're waiting for the restock or the back order. I think it's all strategy.
Yeah, they make just enough to fulfill most of their pre-orders, and then you sit there, and then you wait a year for it to be restocked, and then eventually you get it. So, I don't know. I thought about getting the Kenwood Ham Portable. The only issue is it's D-Star, and I'm not a huge fan of D-Star. It's arguably pretty confusing to set up. And there's just no D-Star around here. So it's kind of not, there's not really a point.
No, I get that. I hear that a lot, especially down here too. D-Star is not very common either. Funny enough though, the closest digital repeater to me is a D-Star repeater. I am only ever on analog. If I want to do digital, I have an open spot. But I got the 75 just because it's a good radio. But I agree. I think Kenwood and ICOM should probably reevaluate the D-Star thing. Speaking of, ICOM is coming out with a new mobile too, the 5200. So I kind of have my money on that coming out before this new Kenwood, and I'm sure that's what I'll end up with in the truck. But you're probably running out with motos and stuff, right? Why would you dabble in the amateur?
All of the Motorola's, I like having the ham rigs because I can punch in the frequency on the fly. Motorola's, you can't really do that unless you have either a mobile or a portable with FTP. That's really only a thing on Astro 25 portables or Apex portables. Or mobiles. I don't have either of those. Oh, I have an Astro 25 UHF portable, an XCS 2500 Model 3. That I have FPP on, but that's the only Motorola that I've got that's got FPP. So, and I really, really like being able to punch stuff in on the fly, because I go all over the place. So, instead of putting everything into memory before I get there, just dial it in as I'm going along and then save it as I after that, so that way it's there.
NADF. Yep, that's kind of my school of thought. I really don't go on a road trip without at least a radio, usually a portable and a mobile, or sometimes two portables and a mobile. And I like that ability that I can just pull up a repeater book real quick and pop something in there, or kids get a FRS radio, I can pop that in there. It's quick and easy. But I do guess, you know, like if you're, you know, Sean, for example, right? He commutes the same commute every day. I do too. I'm guilty of it. I use the same exact three repeaters. You know, I can program those and never worry about it. But I do like the flexibility that I can just put in whatever I want.
Right. That's kind of where I'm at. And that and good luck finding a dual-band commercial mobile. I like having a dual-band rig, especially at my apartment, A, because I don't have a whole lot of space. B, I don't have to use a diplexer. C, repeat A.
Good point. I was never really VHF down here, but there is a few that are local to me that I do use as well, or I crossband, because my base station gets out better than my mobile, depending on where I'm at on the north side of town. And I bought a ICOM ID50 just to keep in my backpack, because it's got that GPS repeater query where it'll pull repeaters based on your coordinates, and automatically, like, you can just click on it and use it.
That is a handy
feature. Three repeaters.
Assuming the data in the database is correct.
I'm still trying to figure out what it's querying. Go ahead, Sean.
It was the third time I tried to jump in and unkeep somebody else was talking, so I was just listening. Good morning, everyone. And yes, a Motorola DPX 8000. There you go. Cover all your fans, give you FTP and all that good stuff. Get yourself the, well, they don't call it the Converticom or XTVA anymore. I don't know what they call it for the APX. What do they call the XTVA for an APX? Anyhow, get yourself one of theirs, and there you solve 75% of your mobile issues. Although I found they don't work that great. Anyhow, I'm kidding. What am I on now? Oh, I'm on a... This is a 5550. What are you going to do?
I've got a couple of those. And a few 4350s. A couple 4550s. All VHF, unfortunately. Because we don't have any UHF customers. Oh, I take that back. We have a few. But majority are VHF. Which is unfortunate, because all of our DMR stuff is UHF.
And those commercial rigs stay that way because for commercial use, you buy a part of the frequency, the band, and then that's what you use, and that's it. Well, yeah, on a commercial rig, you buy a specific system or a specific pair. Most people are buying into a system now. You know, they'll be on a trunking system or a DMR system. And they'll have their time slot, or not time slot, but their talk group. And you just don't need frequency agility on commercial radios. Pretty much they get their... whatever system they're on, their talk groups, and that's the end of it. Last time they ever have to think about programming the radio.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Your average Joe Blow is not going to be able to figure out how to punch in a frequency, you know, your color code, time slot, all that crap. They're not going to want to mess with it, B. Why? Just turn the dial. So, but yeah, we're really trying to get as many people as we can to, like, Capacity Plus. We have quite a few Capacity Plus customers up here. I personally would like to see more Connect Plus, or is it Capacity Max now? They're both the same thing, I guess. But, that would be kind of neat. But I don't know if we're going to see that for a while. So, I'll wait.
I act like I should be able to program whatever I want into my radios on the fly, but I can think of about 4 times where I've actually done that, so... I can see why on the commercial side they kind of just lock you into, this is what you use. Well, the other thing is, you know, the FCC requires it. You know, you're not allowed to have a front panel programmable radio in the commercial services. Even FPP, you know, we all light it up in our radios, but it's not allowed. That's a federal-only thing. It's like DEA and stuff like that. We're technically not supposed to have it.
Oh, but, you know, they don't need to know about that. That's fine. They can believe what they want to believe.
And I'm assuming those Fed-level organizations that can do it, it's so when they're working with local authorities, they can jump on frequency. You know, I never got an actual answer to why that is. Why is it allowed at the Fed level? You know, maybe it's strictly for the FCC. Who knows? But it's a federal-only thing.
Now, once a radio is in an amateur radio, you know, world, and you're using it for ham radio, well, then it's fine, you know. So if I've got my XDS 5000, and it's got FTP, but it's a ham radio. It's no longer being used for commercials, so that's fine. But we don't require type acceptance here. That's why you can use a GMRS radio here, but you can't use a ham radio there. So, anywho. But in the actual commercial service, yeah, FTP is a no-no for all but the feds. Ah, well. What am I going to get for coffee this morning? I'm at the Timmy Ho's where they don't have the bagel I want, so I'll have to settle for something else if I get a breakfast thing. Oh, decisions.
Hey, I got myself a maple waffle sandwich, which is, a waffle sandwich. Sausage, egg, and cheese. And that was real good. Oh, gas stations. I need one of those. All right, guys, I'll be right back. Thank you, Mitch.
I had a coffee with some heavy whipping cream because that's what was in the fridge and a little bit of sugar. And it didn't do it for me. Now I just want to brush my teeth. So, I don't know. I could go for some breakfast, I know that.
Was it the heavy whipping cream or the sugar? What was it that grossed you out?
You know, I don't know. I had it the other day, and I don't know if I just used too much cream, but I had it the other day, and I'm like, man, that, like, brings out a different flavor of the coffee. This is really good. And then I've had it two times since, and it's like, it gets worse every time I have it. So, maybe, it's got to be the cream. I don't think you really are supposed to use heavy whipping cream in coffee.
No, I don't believe so. Oh, man. I don't think I would do that. But then I don't do cream in my coffee anyhow. Although I did, you know, it's weird because when coffee is weak, I tend to put a little, you know, milk in it too, well, cream, because I can't stand the weak coffee, and that somehow masks it. Hold on, I'm pulling up here. My turn.
Good timing. I'm going through the crater. NADBS standing by.
Okay, a tall Pikes.
I'm pretty sure I've got a muffin in my lunchbox. My wife was kind enough to pack me some leftovers today, and I know that we had muffins at the house, so hopefully I got that wait for me by the time I get to the office. But I'm with you. I don't like weak coffee. I'd almost rather not drink anything at all if it's weak.
Yeah, it barely tastes like, it tastes like warm water. I can barely tell there's coffee. It's just warm water to me. And, you know, I'm not saying that just because it's weak, you know, like, it really tastes like water, just warm water to me. And you really got to kick me in the teeth to say, that's coffee. I need it stiff. That's why I'm a Starbucks guy. A lot of people say, ah, it's burnt, you know, tastes burnt, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, yeah, but I know it's coffee.
Temperature is a huge factor in good coffee. I'm not saying like the drinking temperature, but the brewing temperature. See, Tim Hortons burns their coffee. I don't mind Starbucks coffee as much as I do Tim Hortons. I have a hard time drinking Tim Hortons hot coffee.
And I'm back. ATMH mobile.
There he is. Hey, do you ever you ever get Tim Hortons ask for the dark roast? They got a dark roast, which is, I think, significantly better than the regular stuff, but you got to ask for it. It's not advertised very well.
I didn't know that was a thing, but I'll keep that in my pocket.
I personally have never tried it. Mainly because we don't have Tim Hortons up here.
Really? Well, we don't have Flapjack Shack, so I guess take that.
We have Aromas. Locally owned place, but when I lived over by my, when I still lived over at my parents' place, out of town, I would stop there all the time. They had really good stuff. I haven't been there in what feels like eons.
Did you say Flapjack Shack, Sean? Oh, yeah. Let me see if I got it here. Man, this Starbucks by my work is just a zoo to get in and out of. There are cars coming from every possible direction. It's like, you know, there's no lanes or anything. There's no proper way to get in or get out. It is just a nightmare. And I just had a situation where there were people, like, coming in from all angles and exiting from all angles. Yeah, Flapjack Shack. It's a favorite of mine. I think the closest one to us probably be Lansing. And but there was one in Kalkaska that I used to, that was one I used to go to most. I know there's still at least one, if not a few, in Traverse, but it's a up north thing. But there is one in Lansing, I think.
I've never heard of it, never been, but next time I go up north, I will keep an eye out because it sounds good. I'm assuming it's like a Tim Hortons kind of deal, a little breakfast fast food joint.
It's more like a Denny's, kind of, sort of, but, you know, they key on the whole breakfast thing, but it's kind of like that. It's a restaurant chain. They have a full menu.
Yep, we still have the one across from Meijer, and that's the only one we got. And for a while, their sign was unfortunately missing the L and flap.
I love it.
I wonder if that was intentional.
Hey, I don't know, but it was hilarious. And that place is always packed, man. So that's how you know it's good. I haven't been there in a while personally, but it's always packed. All right, guys, I'm going to jump out of here. I'm dropping down towards the Kalkaska County, and this is a point of no return. Feeling cold.
Drake, you got to get a node. That way you can be on all the time. Take care, travel safe, have fun.
Talk to you later, Drake. See you later.
Yeah, anyhow, yeah, if you do get out where they got a Flapjack Shack, get one, go check it out. It's kind of like Northern Michigan's version of the Waffle House. Although, it's a little, Waffle Houses are smaller, you know, and, so Denny's is probably more accurate. So, it's hard to say. I've always been a fan of Denny's. We used to go to Denny's all the time. That was where we went after the bars closed. You know, that's down in Ohio. They, you know, Waffle House is where you go after the bars close. I love me some Waffle House. I just don't get to get it often. Denny's too. Those are like places, I don't know why, I just don't get to go to too often. Like, if you're going out somewhere on a weekend for breakfast, you kind of want to go somewhere a little bit better. Like you said, that's kind of after bar food. Well, I find millennials and younger have a higher expectation of their dining experience. You know, in some respects, they do it, you know, I don't like the way they do things. In other respects, I notice millennials more want a dining experience. They want to go someplace that's, you know, they want more one-ofs and places that have unique ambiance or experience. And they're willing to pay a little bit for that. On the other hand, you know, they Uber and dine out. Like, I've heard that 70% of food at restaurants is takeout now. So on the other hand, they do that, which I'm not a fan of. So, just different dining habits, I guess. We used to go out quite a bit before we started having kids, and then it got a little challenging, so now, yeah. If we eat out, it's usually carry out, or DoorDash, which I hate DoorDash. I'm guilty of using it. I do it at work. I pay 15 to 20% more than I should, but the convenience of not having to go out on haul road, I could justify it. Oh, I get it. You know, it's convenient, that's for sure, but, you know, we're losing our restaurants. You notice almost nothing stays open late anymore, you know, because just less and less people are doing that, you know, so it's not a successful business model. You know, you got to keep the lights on, keep everything fired up, keep people employed and on the floor. So it's just the business model ain't working because younger folks ain't partaking in the same way. So, but I do find that your generation and younger have a higher expectation generally when they dine out. You know, my generation, you know, it was like Denny's was perfectly fine for an evening out dinner. You went to, like, you know, even the stuff we went to when we wanted to go to Better, you know, were like chains, and that's just unacceptable. Chains are dying. Because younger folks, you know, aren't going to have any of that, and I'm all with it. I'm fine. Give me a unique place. I'll pay the money to go to a unique place, something like that, or someplace that's, you know, the days of Mountain Jacks and shenanigans are over. Speaking of which, did you ever see that movie? What was I waiting? We talked about that.
Yeah, my generation birthed hipster restaurants, which I personally can't stand. I don't like the Hopcats of the world or any of that. There's all those places in Detroit, Freya's and whatever the hell their other sister restaurant is, where, not for me. I just want good food. Like, I used to love Buffalo Wild Wings, and I think a lot of this chains shoot themselves in the foot, though, because when B-Dubs came out, they had good food and it was reasonably priced. Now they have crap food and it's super expensive, so I will never go there. But, no, I did not. I don't think I've watched a movie since we talked about that, actually. I lied. I watched half of Happy Gilmore.
Hey, W.
How you doing, Jay? Unfortunately, I just pulled up at work, so I'm not going to be able to do much more than say hi, bye. But I will get back on the radio in just a minute. When I get inside, I don't have my radio to transition. I left it at home. I did watch Happy Gilmore, so I have comments on that. I'll be back in a minute. Jay, go ahead. You got Dakota in here, and I'll be right back. W8FU.
Okay, Sean. Who's the other gentleman?
Morning, Jay. You got Dakota, NADBF here. I'm pulling into work, too, so I got time for maybe one or two more rounds here.
That's good enough. How does that DoorDash work?
It's a third party that employs drivers to go to the restaurant that you order from and pick up the food and bring it to you. So it's a delivery service. The problem is you get service fees. The cost of the items on DoorDash costs more than they do at the restaurant. And then you have a delivery fee sometimes, and then you have to tip. So you could order, I mean, the best example I've seen, so I want a tropical smoothie one day. It's a $7 smoothie regularly. It's $9.99 on DoorDash. Then there's a service fee and a tip. So when it's all said and done, your $7 smoothie costs $20.
Okay, well, reason why I'm asking is because, I don't know, somebody hacked my credit card or whatever, and you were using DoorDash. And I couldn't understand why my bill was so high every month, yeah. So, I don't know. So anyway, to make a long story short, the person that was using my card, I don't know how they got the information, they were using it. When I called my credit card people and said, hey, why is my bill so high and what is the DoorDash? And they explained to me, while we were talking, the person was using it. And he was using it in some kind of way in, what was that, Winnipeg, this place in Canada, Winnipeg or something like Canada, right?
Yeah, so they got your number and they just put that into their DoorDash account and then you start ordering a bunch of free food. So hopefully your credit card takes care of that dispute and you get that taken off your bill. But I'm going to clear out. I got to get inside. I just pulled in here, so maybe I'll catch you later. Good luck with your credit card. And, yeah, DoorDash is a nice service. It's convenient, but it's expensive. NABBF. I'll be clear of yours.
All right. Well, thanks for the info, NAW. And guess what? I did get it cleared up.
Hey, Jay, whatever happened with your that radio you sent to that guy that, and you never got it back. You got squared up on that, right?
What radio was that?
Yeah, that Yaesu multi all bander. You sent it out for repair, and I don't know, they had busted up front face or front controls or something like that. You had a UPS. It was a couple years back now.
Yeah, that's been taken care of, but what happened was my heat sink went out on my UHF. The radio was in perfect condition, other than every time, you know, when I keep keying up, it'd get hot, and the UHF would go out. Yaesu did not support that radio no more because it was too old. And I got that radio back in open war or something like that. So I found a place to send it to a guy in Florida, and when it got to him, that's when he told me he couldn't do nothing about it because three of the knobs were broken off and everything, and he said, I'm sending it back to you and everything. So, of course, I went and talked to UPS, and at that time, I didn't know they had, like, franchise or something. They wasn't a real UPS, I don't know, but... So I had to take them to court, and we did it online. I could see him, I could see the judge. At that time, you know, they didn't want nobody in 36th District Court. So the guy tried to lie and said the radio wasn't worth it. Well, if it wasn't worth it, he shouldn't have let me put insurance on it. He should have said, no, I can't do that, it's not worth it. But make a long story short, he lied, but anyway, and the judge had a computer at his desk while we were talking, and he said, what kind of radio is this? So I told him and everything, and he said, oh yeah, I got it right here. And he says, you got one that's $1,000, $900, $600. So what he did, he got me the least amount of what the radio cost, but yet I paid insurance for about $900. So, I was a little pissed off at the guy. You know, the judge made him pay me $600, the guy said, well, I don't even need the radio, so you can have your radio back. So I got the radio back, but that's why I wound up with this 991A. Yeah, Roger.
All right, so you got the broken radio back in the and $600. I guess that's not terrible. I mean, you wanted your radio, right? So maybe one day you can find the parts you need, like a front face panel or something like that, and replace it. Because I think, if I remember correctly, it was all damage on the front face, right? But then it'll still have a UHF problem, won't it?
Yep. So I just took that $600 and added to what I've gotten. ordered me a Yaesu 9918, which I'm talking on, from GX Engineer. So, and I'm happy with this radio. I really enjoy it.
Oh, no, they're great radios. They really are. So, all right, Jay, I'm at work here. I just didn't have time to say hi out in the car, so I figured I'd jump in here and chit-chat. And I had been wondering about that last time I heard you. So, have fun, and we'll catch you later. I'm going to get to get to work here. After yours, WAFU.
Well, all right, Sean. Well, thanks for coming back, and you have a fine day at work, and we'll talk to you another time. This is November 8th, Whiskey, Julie Lima. I'm going that way.
NHWJL, KEHZRI. NHWJL. NHWJL. KEHZRI.
Get off at school, but she wasn't feeling good this morning, so I'm almost back home now.
N-A-W-R-O. W-A-P-D.
Morning, Wally. N-A-W-R-O. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, see if you can open that file, I think. You should be able to just double-click on it. It should open it up in a web browser.
Nice. Yes, it worked. Yeah, very good. Yeah, that's going to be quite helpful. Thanks, Wally.
Yeah, I tried to do it in PDF, but it got so damn big, and then it wouldn't send. And then there was an option to do it in a HTML file, so I did it that way, and it was only like 42K, and that'll give you all the frequencies and all the zones and everything else like that, and you don't have to mess around with the code plug. So, just a lot of reading.
And boy, you got everything in here. You got it really detailed. Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. The code plug is, that's Paul's, but all of the ARPSC radios, they're all the same. That's what's in them. You know, you can modify it as you like. There's no reason to do it, but that's what everybody's there, and some of the GMRS simplex frequencies and some of the digital ham frequencies. Everything's there, so have fun with it.
Sounds good. Will do. Greatly appreciate it. N-A-W-R-O.
He has everything.
I'm just good at borrowing things.
Is that why Marianne had a handy talkie pinned to her wedding dress, something borrowed?
I don't think that would have went over very good. But, you know, because then I would have kept saying, where are you? Where are you? Now that she's official GMRS operator by marriage. Because that's the way that works.
Oh, good morning. So I was dropped in on my cameras at home because I wanted to... I've been waiting for DTE, and they came, and they're all setting up and staging in front of my house, so I'm scrambling to get home.
Oh, very good. You had said something the most morning. You were talking about FPP and Y and federal and all that other stuff. I think I got an answer for that question. Nightbog. Because in Nightbog book, it tells you how to do all that stuff. And basically, the only reason you can do that, according to NIFOG, is if you're trying to interact with a federal government agency. That's the reason for the FPP type option that says federal government. That's the catch.
Well, I just don't know what they mean by that. They always say federal government. Does that mean that you get that to work with the federal government? That's what you seem to be indicating. Or you can only get it if you're the federal government. That's what I don't understand, because you're not allowed to have a commercial radio with, it's very expressly written in the rules that you cannot have a commercial LMR radio with front panel programmability. Clearly this FPP, this federal FPP, negates that. So there's got to be somewhere where it's allowed, because the rules are very clear.
Yeah, right. But in the NIFOG guide, it says it's allowed for, let's say, your people. It's allowed by them as long as they're attempting to connect to a federal agency. If they want to go ahead and talk to you on a super secret channel, NIFOG says no, no, no. But if they need to talk to Vice President whatever's detail group, then they're allowed to do it. That's what the book says. The K 2022 Nightfog book. You get a chance.
All right, interesting. So that's the kind of the opposite way I thought of it. I thought of it as only being available to the feds, but you're saying it's available if you need to talk to the feds. But that is interesting because the rules very explicitly say your radio is not type accepted. If it can, if it's an LMR radio and it can, and it's front panel programmable, that is a do not pass go, do not collect $200. So I'm curious how that reconciles in the grand scheme of things. Yeah, but I promise I'll only use it for this. You know, you have to have a some show cause or something, or, you know, it's kind of odd. I get what you're saying, but how does that manifest in the rules with regards to the part 95?
The way I interpret it, let's use the word professional radios for all your customers, and let's use the word LMR for everybody else, commercial, you know, what have you. Okay, the way I interpret it, the professional radios are allowed to have it in it as long as they use it to talk to make it so that their radio talks to the Fed. The LMR, which is what you're referring to, Average Joe, you know, Wally's lawn service company or what have you, is not allowed to have it. So, you know, so you could order it all day long. But if you had Sean's radio business, you could not. That's the way I interpret it in the book.
Okay, but see, the rub is, or, you know, the details is where the where we're at. And what do you mean by LMR versus, you know, what are you saying radios that are public safety? And that's no longer really a designated class. So again, it just leaves a little bit ambiguity to the who. So I get what you're saying, but how do I differentiate myself, you know, by virtue of who I work for? It'd be kind of hard to codify that in the part, you know, into the Code of Federal Regulations. So, okay, well, I'll look into it more. That's interesting. I'm sure it's somewhere down that path anyhow. Just have to figure out what they're, you know, what are the criteria that must be met. I've never had any problem. I've asked for it and I've gotten it. So, but I'm in public safety. So, you know, maybe we're checking some box I'm not aware of at the FCC licensing level or something.
Yeah, I think the way I interpret it personally, okay, if Officer A has to help Federal Officer B and he doesn't have it in his radio, Officer McComb A is allowed to mess with his radio so he can talk to Federal Officer B. That's the way I interpret it. But the other way I interpret it is if McComb Officer A wants to program it to talk to GMRS, that's a no-no.
Well, I don't even think you have to leave services. I don't think, you know, I have it, you know, and I don't think I could use it to reprogram, front panel program my radio to talk to someone else, even public safety. I couldn't go public safety to public safety. There's a Fed component there, you know, so I don't think we even have to get it into the weeds of crossing services, which is a whole other kettle of fish. No, I get what it's for. I get that. I'm just wondering how do you, you know, when the FCC comes and grabs your radio and looks at it, how do they pass out a violation versus they don't pass out a violation? If they find FTP, that's what criteria. I
basically the way I understand it is you could do it all day long to talk to some federal guy if that's, you know, needed to be. That's why, that's the loophole. The feds can do it. Your guys could do it to talk to the feds, but everything else is no, 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 no. So, anyways, but read the blue book. Let me know how you interpret it. I do agree with you 100% on it. Gray. It's as gray as freaking my hair, what's left of it.
KCH, JKB.
Yeah, I heard JKB, I think it was. You got some sort of ANI on the end of your transmission. Anyhow, go ahead.
Yeah, it's Kilo Charlie 8, Juliet Kilo Bravo. The name is Phil. How am I coming in? I'm over in Grand Blanc.
Pretty good. Sounds like a little bacon fry, but 100%, no problem at all. Except for that, whatever that ANI is at the end of your transmission.
Okay, I've just been punching in the garage and listening to your conversation, and I was just curious. I had a question. I didn't know what you were talking about, but I have a radio. Let's see, a TID radio that does, you know, it's a dual band, plus you can put GMR frequencies in it. And, is that what you guys are talking about, that it's a gray area that you can't do that?
No, this is for actual commercial radios. To have front panel programmable capabilities, you have to have a feature. This is all commercial stuff. You know, amateur radios are all front panel programmable. And I might add, not allowed on GMRS. Now, you can do it, and people do it all the time, but it is not legal or within the, it's against the rules for GMRS operation. So you cannot use your TID radio on GMRS. You're not allowed front panel programmability in the GMRS band. We're talking about something a little different. There are some similarities there, you know, in that the why you can't do that, and we're trying to figure out why there's an exception to that in the commercial world.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't want to interrupt the conversation. It's just a question I had. I appreciate you guys getting back with me. This is KCHJKB. I'll say 7-3s, and I'll be clear on, I'll be clear.
Okay, and just, I think I've mentioned that ANI two or three times, and, you know, you do acknowledge what I'm saying, right?
I do. Thank you.
Okay, generally frowned upon in amateur radio, so, it'd be a good idea to look into that. Anyhow, 7-3. Wally?
Yeah, I gotta get out of here. I have to head towards the office. I had to hang around the house a little bit. We had the carpet cleaning guys come in. My office was a mess. I got my office carpet cleaned, a bedroom carpet cleaned, and the hallway carpet cleaned. So I'm a hero, and so I've got to get out of here now. But yeah, no problem. Like I said, it's very great. Read the blue book. Let me know how you interpret it. I do. Not that it matters to any of us, you know, because when we take those radios, we take them to Handyman, and there it's legal. So, you know, so that's where I think the other guy was coming from. Yeah, as long as you stay between your little high and your low band limit, your license there, you can program on the front panel all you want. It's the average Joe, the appliance user. So, and I think that when he was talking about that, I think that's where you were coming to from, you know. In all reality, the GMRS is supposed to be an appliance radio. You're not supposed to be monkeying around with that as amateurs do. I think that's the other thing, too, when you were talking about, you know, GMRS and that rule's broken all the time. And that's a big no-no.
It's just the technology has gotten so, you know, broadly available and so universal that, you know, we just miss those things. But, yes, GMRS has its own set of rules, and part of those rules are
not, your radios are not programmable. They're channelized. And, you know, period, end of story. You can program the PL tone, but that's it. You know, you can't program frequencies or what frequencies or anything like that. You know, I suppose if they could make a radio that would only allow you to program it to fixed GMRS channels, which that's channelized, right? So there you go. So GMRS radios must be channelized and all that good stuff. So using any kind of radio, even a commercial radio with FPP, although that one you could probably, an actual public safety radio with FPP enabled would probably be fine. I don't know. I'm not even going to open up that can of worms. But bottom line is that public safety and commercial worlds do not allow for, just like GMRS, do not allow for front panel programmable radios. So I'm just wondering, where do they get the, you know, where do they? I understand why. I understand what Nightfog says is the why, but I want to understand where do they get the authorization to do it. You know, where if an FCC officer walked up to you right now and grabbed your APX out of your hand or your XTS or your XTL, and he keyed in, a GMRS frequency, which in the particular case of that one would be capable, you know, how are you not in violation, right?
You know, I agree. And it was a very interesting conversation. So, you know, I did enjoy it. I just couldn't get involved because I was trying to get all the furniture out of the way. But, you know, I just thought to myself, now there's something I wish I could have chimed in on. So, and it was, that's cool. That's cool. So, all right, John, I got to go. Good luck with what you're doing. I shall chat a little bit later. W8VD. Oh, also, too, Tim, our WRO bought one of those radios that's supposed to be kind of futuristic and do all the digital protocols that aren't here yet, but it's kind of fun. You know, everybody's trying something different, and who knows, maybe someday somebody will come out with one that will address all of our needs. We shall see. And not break the bank. We'll go from there. I'll chat later and clear up to your gun. WABD.
Okay, that's interesting. Is that the TID radio I hear people talking about? I did not realize this was some sort of multi-protocol radio.
I know it's not right now, Sean. It's that Connect Systems one. I just got it for the DMR dual band. So you might want to say it's a tri-band, I guess. And yes, they promise all that vaporware, but I didn't buy it for that. But if it does happen, that'd be nice. But so far, so good in AWRO.
Okay, I kind of remember you talking about that. So, and I do remember that radio being bantered about some time ago. It's not like it's new. It's been around for a while. And I knew it was DMR. I did not know it was multiband. And then you say multi-protocol is a promise not yet realized. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct. There's this guy, Jerry, out in California, and I'll have to say that the delivery was really quick. Ordered it Monday. It was here Wednesday, and he kind of oversees everything. I guess he's been at ham meetings for quite a number of years now and promising multiple digital protocols. But, like Wally and I discussed this at length, it doesn't exist. And I think you mentioned it, Sean, a couple of months ago, maybe this might have been the brand that, you know, he's been promising this for a while. Now, not to say that they don't have a lot of interesting products that are actually working right now. And again, I bought it just for the quality build, I'm going to say, and, what it can do now, currently.
All right. Yeah, very cool. No, I think I seen one. There's a guy left. KFAUU, I think he owned one, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if it's the one,
but he owned one of their radios, I'm pretty sure. So that's the first one, the only one I ever put hands on. And then I do remember there was, a few years back, they had a demo, a sample or something like that at Dayton. And might have been the first Dayton back from COVID, so not all that long ago. Or was it the last one before COVID? I don't know, but it seemed like either the last one before COVID shut down Dayton or the first one back after. I thought that they had this multi-protocol. I never remember it being multi-band, though. You're saying that the one you got now is multi-band. What is it, VHF, UHF, or something more than that?
Correct. The other two are VHF, UHF. Now, you have a ability to get just VHF with DMR or just UHF. I think you might even just have a DMR, you know, for a lower price. But, of course, I wanted to get the multi-band. And I guess they've been out for a while, but this one is CS for Kinect Systems 800D+.
All right, so if I'm hearing you right, it's VHF, UHF, analog, and DMR. Is that correct?
That is correct. And looking at the invoice, $429 plus shipping. And I had to get the antenna connector, too, because it's an N in the back. So I had to get to SO239, I guess.
Okay, yeah, there's a few radios that'll do that nowadays. I remember for a while you couldn't get a dual bander, but that's been solved for quite some time. A lot of guys got these, the Anytone? Is it the Anytone that's the MD9600 or whatever? I know those were real popular. Those will do, I think, dual band, DMR, analog. So, but yeah, that guy's got it's a commercial build, if I remember correctly. You know, it feels very commercial. So cool, very good. I'll have to check that out when I get a chance. So maybe if I make one of the meetings, I can scope it out.
Comment.
Go ahead, comment.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Enjoying your conversation and. Yeah, the Anytone 878 UV2 Plus does UHF, VHF, and DMR. I got one back in February, and it's interesting for sure. And, Sean, I just wanted to thank you again for recommending the ClearNode. I'm enjoying the heck out of that. But I don't want to interrupt you. I'm learning a lot, so you guys continue on.
No, not a problem. And that's the same combo I run. I've got the Open Spot 4 Plus with the UV, or the 878 UV 2 Plus. That's the same exact setup I got. And I think it's a tough act to beat. The thing is dual band DMR handhelds have been out for a while. Mobile's not so long. Mobiles are a little bit, took a little bit longer to come out. Which is kind of what I think the radios we're talking about here. But it seems like the market for dual band DMR portables has been, that's been around for several years now. It's kind of weird how that works.
And Rick, I just let you know that Anytone that you got, that was my second choice. I was going to grab that one. But I decided to just take a chance on this one, and it is a detachable faceplate as well, which I don't think any other DMR dual banders have, and also it's a front-firing speaker as well. Go ahead, Rick, if you're still in.
Oh, cool. I didn't realize you guys were talking about mobiles. I thought you were talking about handheld, so I'm a little behind. And yeah, the 878, it's a little bit for me, the menu system, and I still get, I finally got the DMR running, the code plugged at work kind of thing, and I get onto a DMR TechNet I think it's Monday nights or something like that. But anyway, and I tell them I'm a DMR infant kind of thing, you know, and then all of a sudden I'll get three calls, but I never get no alert that they're calling. All I get is a little window that pops up and goes, missed call. I got to take some kind of lessons from this thing. So that's why I spend a lot of time here on the FBI University.
All right, well, that's a great radio, and that's a great, you know, hotspot, as you all know. So you got a really solid combination there. You can do an awful lot with that, and just about anything, really. Within reason. they have a mobile version of that now. I think it's a 578 or something. I can't quite recall what the number on it was, but it's I guess the mobile version of that, and that's supposed to be a pretty darn good radio too. If you need any help with that archive, I'd be more than happy to send you mine, and you could modify it. You know, you live in a little different area, so you'd probably have a little different interest. But I got a pretty cram-packed 878, which would probably be pretty interesting to you, so let me know. Anyhow, I'm pulling up here at my destination. I'm going to get inside and figure out what's going on. It looks like they're trying to get into my backyard to tear down all my trees at the back 40. So I'm going to try to make their life easier, actually. W8FU. Tim?
All right, sounds good, Sean. KE8WOJ, W8FU from N8WRO. I'll be clear. You guys have a good day. Sean, good luck with the tree crew.
7-3, guys. I appreciate listening to you guys. I always learn something on here. Have a great day and be careful out there. KE8WOJ.
WD8KOL.
KDKKL. Mobile monitoring as usual.
WD8KOL.
Are you working or playing?
No, I'm playing. I'm always playing. I'm retired. How you doing today, Tom? I've got Greg here.
Oh, just fine. I'm working. Going from Southland Mall up to Westland. Not Westland. Oh, what's that one off of Middle Belt in Plymouth?
Oh, you got me a little bit too early for me. Livonia?
Yeah, it's in Livonia. They used to be called Westland, I think. Or something like that. They used to be a mall there, and now it's just all open stores or whatever. You know, the property's all been redeveloped. But over by where the old Laybrook Raceway was.
Oh, okay. Yeah, roger that. So what do you do out there, Ken?
I'm a tech specialist. And I deal with, basically, I specialize in access systems, so I'm a troubleshooter.
Oh, okay, very good. Yep, I hear you on the road quite a bit. Working early and coming home late, so you're definitely putting your time in for sure. I hear you out here a lot. I'm retired. I was in automotive sales for 40-plus years selling industrial automation equipment, primarily hydraulic systems, to Chrysler, Ford, GM, Detroit Diesel were some of my customers.
Okay. You carry around an ID badge, you get you through the security doors. Well, that's what I do. And I keep people without badges out of areas that need badges.
Oh, okay. gotcha. Yep. I had a lot of badges stacked up when I retired from all the places I was going in and out of. Yep. I don't miss the drive down there, that's for sure. But I do miss working a little bit.
Oh, I still have some mileage left before I hit that stage. I got like 20 years, I guess you can say.
All I can say is just keep putting the money away and keep putting the money away.
No, say that again, Greg. I lost it there. I keep 25 bouncing on me.
Oh, you said you had about 20 years left or whatever. And I said, all I can say is just keep putting the money away. Keep putting the money away.
Oh, yeah, I'm nowhere close to retirement. You know, what is it, 63 or 65 or whatever it is for my generation, but financially that's not feasible. You know, so I'll just keep working. You know, I can only put a small percentage in 401k, and God only knows about my 5 years pension from the other company I was with, if that's even existed.
Well, I was with Bosch for 20 years, so I did get a small pension from them. I'm thankful for that. But, thankful for that for sure.
Well, when I get to the age where I can draw from my Social Security, that's what I'll do. I'll draw from Social Security, you know, partial Social Security, whatever, and keep working that way. And there's no money. Pocket change, I guess you can call it.
Yep, roger that. Yeah, that's all right if you can do it. I think they limit you a little bit on how much you can make, but, I'm a firm believer, 62 and out if you can do it. Yeah, it's something I didn't really want to do right away, but I was kind of forced into it because of medical issues, but... I'm having a ball on ham radio since I've had my surgery here last year, and I got my GMRS license in January, I got my tech license in March, and my general here just, I don't know, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, so I've been having a ball ever since.
Well, every second of the day that I'm on the radio, I enjoy every moment of it. Love being on the radio. I love radios. I love electronics. You know, I'm like a techno geek kind of thing. I'm not as high-end as a lot of the guys out there, but if money wasn't an option, oh yeah. Power, receivers, repeaters everywhere, everything. Yeah, I'd be like so down deep into it.
Yeah, I hear you. The tower or something I'm looking at right now. I got antennas sticking all over my house right now in three different directions. Wished I would have went with a tower for sure, but been having a ball. I got the OpenSpot 4 Pro, so I got the digital side covered, and got the 991 Alpha as my check in the box. So. And I got a long wire, or a half-wave infed, that I put up about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and having a ball with that.
Yeah, tower, it would be for me. I mean, I'm just a tech still, so I take my time studying the general, and eventually I'll get it. But I'm enjoying, you know, the tech side of it right now. And even if I did become a general, I couldn't put a long wire up anywhere because I put it up in a tree and my wife would cut down the tree.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, you can always put it up incognito and hope she doesn't see it. That's what I did. My neighbors don't even know what's up.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I had a couple trees in the backyard. You know, I had a maple tree up there. I did a big, old cherry tree, things like 100 years old. You know, and then I have, you know, that's about it. I put up 2 posts. Actually, no, I had 1 tree right next to the house. I just cut that one down too. So so there's nothing up there. Plus, you know, I got an old farmhouse, so find a place to put at least a dual band outside.
Well, you can always do a sloper, just put a half wave in for that. If you got 60, 74 feet, I think is what mine is, just run it down. Just get it up at peak level or whatever your house and run it on an angle back down to a post. You'll be good to go.
It would just be something else my wife would complain about. What's that wire for? I'm like, it's a toy.
Well, you can do what I did. I put a pulley. I screwed a pulley into a tree and tied some paracord on the end of the wire, and then I ran it through the pulley down to a one-gallon fuel bottle, and I filled the one-gallon fuel bottle with sand so that that bottle in the pulley pulls enough tension on that wire just to keep it taut. So if a bird or whatever wants to get on that wire, it goes up and down a little bit. So my better half likes going out and playing with the wire, lifting the container up and down, watching the wire go up and down. It's pretty funny.
That's when you key it up and then see how much fun she has then.
I often wondered that. I've actually caught a bird landing on the wire, and I thought, well, I wonder if I keyed up, if you'd get, if you'd feel a little bit of heat.
You don't say that. That's terrible. I used to do that to my sister with one of those electronic kits from Radio Shack.
Yeah, that's funny. That is funny. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it actually would zap you, but I know the container's isolated, so it's got a isolator on the end of the wire, but anyways, that is funny.
Well, no, the electronic kit, you know, that you got from Asia, you make a, what they call the high voltage generator, you know, and they had different size capacitors. Basically, it was an electric fence. So, I'm like, here, hold this ground wire. Well, you want me to do it this one? I said, hold that one, too. Hold on. Then I push the button. Zap her every time. Always got her. I'm like, just hold on to this. That's why she didn't get smart. I'm like, oh, no, I know what you're going to do.
Yeah, you must have a brunette. I got a blonde. She'd keep doing it over and over.
Dishwater blonde, and, you know, she wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed.
Oh, it's all in fun. You know I'm just joking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did it a couple times. I was just like, you gotta stop doing that. You know, or I wire it to the door handle to her bedroom with that tinfoil mat, and she walks with bare feet, and, well, then the tinfoil door contacts, and she opened the door to open it up and zapped it that way. I found ways to mess with my younger sister.
Okay. Yeah, you got me laughing now. That's pretty funny. The old Radio Shack trick.
See, you can't, you know, oh yeah, we used to do it all the time. I used to make a whole bunch of stuff. And then me and the neighbor kid, we looked up an alarm, you know, he's the same kid. We hook up an alarm system on the bedroom door, so when you open it up, it went off, and change your resistance values. I guess that's why I work on alarm systems now. That's because of it. But my younger sister got her revenge, you know, with her not knowing it by me getting zapped by an electric fence on more than one occasion.
Yeah, I guess that explains why you're doing what you're doing, though, that's for sure. That's pretty funny. All right there, Tom, it's good talking with you. I'm going to grab another cup of coffee here and get my day going here. Hopefully you're going to be your next destination, if not home. Good talking with you, Tom. WD8KLL, I'll be clear on your final.
Almost forgot I still have coffee here in the van. All right, go get your coffee. Enjoy the day. I'm 7.2 miles out, which is about 10 minutes. So, WDHJLL from KCKU.
Thank you. KABB.
KCAKJO.
KCAKJO, KABB. Good afternoon. Just in the car and heading home from the office, which is what I assume you're hopefully doing too at this time of day. Office just a little bit early. Tomorrow is still Friday for me. A lot of people are like, well, is today or Friday? Because they have tomorrow off. I'm like, oh no. I'm working tomorrow, probably, and the next day too, but well, hopefully everything works for you. Going on to beat it out. You were not really copyable on that one.
Well, I just jumped on the Warren one. No, I was on LTC. Yeah, no, I said I'm going to take care of this run here, and then I got two runs tomorrow, one in Ann Arbor, and then he's going to take off from Ann Arbor, and I'm going to cover him going up to Grand Rapids and be done for the day.
Man, that's a lot of driving. Well, hopefully, given the fact that it's the beginning of a three-day weekend, hopefully there's enough people that took Friday off and for a four-day weekend that the traffic's not too bad.
Yeah, I know. That's a Dion, isn't it? K-A-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-
Yeah, I'm at
Hamlet. Well, I'll wave east as I go by Long Lake Road here in a little bit. Won't be too far apart. Is there any risk that you get there and they're already gone and you won't be able to put the controller in?
Well, they're there. They should be there. Usually they're until 5. Tomorrow they'll need to be there until noon. But, just getting in there and getting it done, I mean, it's probably just a power issue.
Okay. Well, I hope it goes smooth.
Well, they're saying that the doors are offline and in the basement. That's the same building we were in before where they had a water leak. And they were redoing it, and we went around and found one of those little small UPS units that was dead. So we put it on the non-battery backup side, and everything came back up just fine. So I'm a feeling that that happened again.
Oh, so not your stuff, it's downstream.
All it does on the application, you know,
I can get 32 controllers on one IT controller and 32 downstream boards from that, you know, mix and match of readers, inputs, outputs kind of thing. And then when they need another system, they just put another loop, network loop downstairs, and that one's got a couple downstream boards. So it all depends on how you set it up. I do access control, so that's my main forte, and then I do cameras as a secondary. Berg is a secondary.
Okay. Yeah, my brother does installs. I think he does some service work, but I think he prefers installs for camera, you know, mostly residential, I think. I don't know if he does commercial stuff, but, you know, home security systems, cameras, and I suppose door sensors and things like that, too. Been doing that for a while. He's kind of, he doesn't have the geography that you have. I think he's a little more in the just kind of metro area.
Well, my normal service geography is the five counties of Metro Detroit. You know, Oakland, Wayne, Macomb, Livingston, and parts of St. Clair and parts of, what's the other one? Oh, I do Washtenaw County. You know, so that's my geographical service area, but because of what I do and what I specialize in, I help out the out-of-district techs because there's not that many out there, and they're spread far and wide.
Very good. Yeah, I try to, my business is fairly geographically concentrated. So I don't, for the most part, I don't have to do a ton of travel. You know, just within mostly two counties and a little bit into a third, but there are times I got to stretch out a little bit. That's fine. It just depends on the client and the situation, my availability, all that stuff. But it's turning out to be kind of nice this afternoon. It was kind of gray and rainy, and then there's a nice break in the clouds, and it's all sunny here. There's still a bunch of clouds, but they're pretty white, puffy clouds, not yucky, gray, dark clouds.
Yeah, some very nice cumulus. They're not colonimbus or they're stratocumulus. I like these ones, little puffy cotton balls in the sky. They're not menacing, they're just there.
Yeah, I forgot if it was, I think it's supposed to still rain a little later today, but then it's supposed to be in the 40s the next couple of nights. It was supposed to be 40 last night. I don't think it actually got all that cool here. But it's supposed to be quite cool the next few nights. I thought, gee, awfully nice October we're having this August.
No kidding, you know. If it's cold now, that means they're going to have a very nasty winter. I know last winter wasn't too bad. I mean, it was tolerable. Let's leave it at that. But I don't like when it's super cold because I got to work out in this junk. Hey, KKJ Friday.
Yeah, I suppose if you're well prepared for the weather, it's tolerable, but it's still, I don't know, I think to a certain point, it's just your extremities get cold, and your joints get sore, and it takes its toll. We live here for the exceptional summers, not the yucky winters. K8BB.
Yeah, my point exactly. I mean, earlier this year, right after that big ice storm that hit the northern part of the Mid, Petoskey and all, and Grayling and all that, we had a couple cameras go out up at Petoskey, so my coworker and I, we drove up there, got it partially done, and then had further troubleshooting, so we ended up having to stay the night trying to find a hotel. It makes it ridiculous, but got up way early the next morning. Went right back at it and pulled 300 feet of Dread Burial Cat 6 times three cables, you know, through hallways and firewalls and all the way around a server rack and over to our equipment that was on the other side of the room.
I'm assuming that there was no power up there because most of that area had no power for days and weeks. I assume it was was freezing cold inside where you were.
No, inside was warm. It was a hospital. It was a big hospital up in Petoskey. But the parking garage where the cameras were, 40-mile-an-hour winds, and it was bitter cold on the side, you know, it was on the lake side, so we had that bitter cold coming off the lake. And the guy that I work with, I mean, he's no small individual, and he was even freezing. So, yeah, it was a lot of work, and the splices are 10, 12 feet in the air. So standing on a 10-foot, 12-foot A-frame in the wind, and he was getting blown off of it.
You know, I always went by the corollary of the adage, I suppose, that antennas put up outside in bad weather always work better. You know, if you're outside in the middle of winter and it's freezing cold and you put up your whatever antenna, you get an extra couple of dBs than if you put the same antenna up on a, you know, nice, warm, sunny summer day. I don't suppose, obviously it's not true, but I don't suppose there's any similar advantage to doing wire work like that outside. Probably the opposite makes you motivated to get it done as quickly as possible, even if it's not perfect, just so you can get inside.
Well, the cable that is pulled to the camera is coax PVC. It should have been direct burial, so, and it was run through pipe, which is fine, but over 20-some-odd years of being out there, well, it gets kind of brittle.
Now, that makes sense, too. My understanding is that some of the composite differences and the different plastics and metals react differently to UV and environment. And you can have similar cables outside for 20 years and one will weather reasonably well and one will completely deteriorate based on the composite of the jacket or whatever. Anyhow, that's my understanding, although I don't know the finer details of you know, various cables and what they're pulled through, but yeah, I guess brittle would make a sense. Well, I mean, is it pulling apart when you're trying to pull it through, pull out old cable, or is it not a, does that still come out in one piece?
Barry back got a phone call, KTKGO.
Okay, K8BB.
K8BB, WYM.
Behold, what do my ears hear? WYM, K8BB.
Yeah, I'm just trying to fulfill my promise that I'm going to try to get on here more often. But I am just going to do a quick hit and run and just say hi, and it was great to see you yesterday. So, with that, I'm out. WYM.
Okie dokie. Great to see you, and great to hear you on the air. And I said yesterday, sorry about the circumstances, but if you have an opportunity to, if you're still there, bend our ears if you want to get some antenna help here in the wintertime. Thank you, but can't be within the hand and expertise. 7-3-8-8.
Okay, I'm back. KCKJO. Plenum wire is supposed to be indoor range and sailing, and it should have been used in what we call direct burial, which is made to be directly buried and be out in the elements.
Yeah. Well, I was an undergrad at college. I worked for an electrical contractor for a number of years, and I didn't do a lot of field work, mostly work in the lighting showroom and the supply counter and stuff, but it was, just low-voltage landscape piping, pretty simple stuff, but the jacket made a big difference. And, people would come in and say, yeah, I installed this, this landscape lighting and it's been out there for about 10 years, and suddenly I've got all these problems, all these lights and circuits, and the transformer keeps tripping, and they pull up the wire, and it's all completely deteriorated, and, shorts and brakes and things. And I said, you did not use berry-rated cable for this. So, I understand that part. Alaska feels the same way. The RF speed line, you know, the direct aerial, if you bury non-direct aerial stuff, you know, it'll take on all kinds of yuck in here. My understanding is you can get a big dummy load underground.
Exactly. So this cable was run by another company years ago, and then we took over the account, and we had one camera up, and the other one didn't want to work, but we could see them locally at the camera, and they're like, oh, well, look, it's PVC coax. That's why we got issues with it, and the pipe was a little bit rusted, so if it had been direct burial, no problem, because it was run outside the parking structure, and then they put a junk, then they put seal plate in, and use direct burial there with a splice. It's like, okay, this all needs to be redone. But we didn't do that part. We had to do, they ran the facilities and IT people ran three direct burial Cat 6 and with BNC balance and stuff. And so we pulled it out of the ceiling and there's a whole spool of wire up there and we had to run it to where we ran it and cut it and spliced it. And got one camera up, the other one, not so good.
Well, hopefully. So is this tomorrow's thing, is the outdoor, or am I mostly what you do? I start actually over indoors. Hopefully the weather is on your side. I am about to pull onto my street here. So I'm going to bid you adieu, but drive safe. I think you got a bit of driving ahead of you still. So do be careful. KCSKJO, KABD.
KCAKJO, N8WRO, are you getting to be in this neck of the woods yet?
Not yet. I'm at, where am I at? Oh, I'm in Troy, but I'm making my way east once I get that far.
Well, you should make it home by net time, I would think, right?
Oh, yeah, easily. I'm right here at Crooks in 75. I just got to jump on the freeway and go over to Hall Road.
Alrighty, sounds good. Having fun playing around with the radio. Take a break. Do a little programming. Take a break. One of those things. Don't want to do it all in one night. Spread the fun out for the week, you know.
Oh, no. When I start radio programming, I'm there till I'm done.
I could see how you could do that, but I kind of want to take a break every now and then and got to do other stuff as well. But, yeah, looks kind of interesting. It's going to be fun. I think there is actually a low setting. I thought there wasn't. I thought it was like just mid-range and then up to like 50-ish. But no, there is a low setting too. But yeah, you know, fun checking it out here.
I figured there'd be a low setting. Most mobiles have a low setting. I imagine you'd be right underneath the tower and blasting them with 25 watts, you know, freaking it out.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. Here, I got to have my base stations on low because I'm so close, and the only other way I was thinking about doing it is just do a, you know, not a gain antenna and, you know, put it in the basement or something. I don't know. Normally don't have that problem.
Well, I'm glad you found it.
It's just one of those things. The manual makes it seem as if it didn't exist, but when you're inside programming it, you obviously have the three choices that are right there. So, and, you know, when I get to transmit, I'll put it on the meter and see what we're actually transmitting as.
Well, yeah, I know in OpenGD77, you know, I got everything set on low with the capability of high, especially when I'm in the house. You know, and I got my open spot, I can just push out 50 milliwatts, and that's enough to hit the open spot. That's the lowest I can go on it, but then when I'm out here in the field and I have my HD with me, then I'll bring it up to 5 watts, which is its max for DMR.
So when this is up and running, my big thing is I have to, for DMR, for the time being, I have to push down to Mount Clemens, and, you know, we'll see what I need for that. But then at some point in the future, there very well may be a DMR up here, so then I'd have to back off, just like VHF, UHF now.
Well, what are you running on your HD outside? You're running, what, 5 watts on it?
Well, I got a variety of them, so I kind of run them all through their paces. But, you know, if I'm closer to the location, I can just do low and then medium. But, yeah, I keep it low or medium. It still gets in. I'm not that far away, so.
Right, because I can sit at my kitchen table with my my 380, put it on 5 watts, the Mount Clemens repeater, and I can see it.
Well, wait, what service are you talking? DMR or just UHF? Well, VHF. I'm confused. Which one are you talking about?
If I'm outside in the backyard, I usually test my DMR HD. I put it on 5 watts to the Mount Clemens tower, and on a pretty decent day, I can hit it. And then when I go inside, I lose it, and then I just change it over to open spot and drop the power all the way down to the lowest setting, which is 50 milliwatts, because it's like right there in my house, and I can walk around the house with it and hear the entire conversation. For VHF, I got to go out to the backyard, and I use the 5R Plus, the Bofang DD 5R Plus, which is a 10-watt radio, and I hit 147.2 VHF on the back when I'm at the barbecue. And then UHF, you know, I got Richmond programmed in there, and then, of course, I hit it, you know, 2.5 watts, maybe 5.
Okay, that makes sense now. For whatever reason, my DM32 for the DMR doesn't, you know, it's just 8, I think it's 8 watts actual, you know, advertised as 10, but it just doesn't consistently get down to the Clem. Of course, you know, I think it did during the winter, so, but it all won't matter soon, so I'm going to have something better.
Yeah, all you can do is try. I mean, put it on low power, and then see what you're pushing on wattage out. To Mount Clemens, DMR, and then adjust it accordingly.
Oh no, Tom, I'm saying that with the Bofang, I gotta have it on high power or I'm not even gonna hit Mount Clemens. And that's outdoors, front yard, you know. And it's relatively a clear line of sight for whatever that's worth. It actually works better if I go upstairs and hang out the upstairs window, but I'm not gonna do that anymore, so. But, yeah, you know, and then I drove down south the other day and it worked on the road. Got a little closer to Mount Clemens, so it was pretty much a distance thing. And, of course, it's just that one radio. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe it's not the ideal radio. But, like I said, that'll be resolved shortly here with the new radio.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Like I said, I mean, my bow thing, like I said, no, wait. For my DMR, I use my TYT HT, my handheld, which is a Revis 3, basically. I have that at 5 watts, and if I'm outside of the bag, I can hit the DMR in Mount Clemens.
I know it's a slightly different topic, but I still can't believe you hit the gateway over at St. Clair Airport and the gateway in North Oakland for Winlink. So you must be like a prime halfway spot there, or clear path to Oakland County. There must not be any geographical blockage there, I guess.
And I'm going to play around again with that this weekend, see if that actually did work. I think I got my little phone thing, which is only 5 watts. That's one that I use the most. And then my wife's phone thing is 10 watts. So it might be that. I got to try it again because I send it out. And then it takes some time for it to come back. So we'll see if it chirps through again this weekend. I'll give it another shot. I just have it sitting in the middle of the kitchen table.
I think I told you, they told me up there that their Winlink machine was inadvertently set off frequency for about, oh, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks, and that's why I couldn't get into it a while back, but I tried it the other day, and it worked so quick, it was as if I was on an internet connection. So whatever he's done up there, Aaron and Riley, they got it working good now.
All right, that'll be another adventure this weekend. I got 3 days. You know, trying to get some IS-200 in there and get that done. I'm so, you know, I think I'm like a quarter of the way through it.
Oh, heck yeah. Get sign off on level one. Sign off on level one before the snow flies. There's a goal right there. I'll get my DMR radio program before the snow flies. How about that?
Well, there we go. Well, I'm hoping that my cable comes in today for my Motorola so I can upload the archive on it and get it set up on my CPS software. I got my old version 1, and I got version 2 in it, so I want to get it uploaded.
Speaking of the colder weather setting in, too, I was thinking about try to get one more antenna up topside on the roof all the way up before it sets in. But quite frankly, I don't know if I really need it. Maybe I'll just put another one in the attic.
Yeah, I'm going to check on that, too. I mean, I don't have an antenna yet, but I do have, like, these little box covers in certain areas of the walls. I'm like, what is this for? So I'll see if I can go straight up the middle of the house right into the attic. And put something up there.
I truly wouldn't mind one of the smaller antennas in the attic for when we do Skywarn, because it's kind of odd if you think about it. We're on our rigs during bad weather time. It might be nice to switch over to an antenna and more of an internal antenna during those times.
Oh, I agree, definitely. That is you know, the whole thing of getting an antenna up on the roof, I mean, that involves a bucket truck in my sense, because it's a 30-foot peak, you know, 10-12 pitch. And, you know, the house is almost 100 years old. So get something up there and try to run the cable internally so I'm not poking holes in the side of my house.
My top roof is just a little bit better of a pitch than that. It's I think they call it a Dutch colonial. So the top roof, you can walk on it, you know, or I did back in the day. I'm not going to do it now, but it's a little bit safer. In fact, it's such a pitch, I'm not sure if they have it, but I'm wondering if there's such a thing as a residential roof hatch. That would be awesome for antenna maintenance, but I don't think they exist, but something to check into.
I can get up in my attic. I've got to walk across the trusses to get to the other side because one half of the attic is storage, the other half is wide open with insulation. And that's towards the front of the house. So where I get the antennas in the back of the house, which is where my vent is at for my master bathroom, or for the main bathroom upstairs. So it's going to be on the back side of the house and get something like Wally has. Get up there and then just get the cable downstairs somehow is going to be the fun part.
Yeah, that should work. And, of course, your main focus would just be getting a good, clean signal down to Richmond here, right?
Correct. I have the right type of mass mount, I guess you can say, for VHF, UHF, and just getting it down to Richmond. Then I'll be good to go there. It's something that, that I'm researching and eventually will invest in, but it's not 100% priority right now. But it will be.
The one diamond antenna upright that I'm using, the X30, it's, you saw where it's at. It's not in the optimal area. It's like the wrong side of the house, actually. But occasionally I do go down to the Edison repeater and do Wayne County ARPSC net. And I can get in, but it still is reception, depending on conditions, can still be on a challenging side there. So I think that's where I would be looking for an antenna up topside is obviously other repeaters, not the FBI network, not the 7.2. Ooh, Dave's on the other side.
Yeah, I want to be able to hit Bell River, you know, that tower down there. I don't know what they're linked to, but I want to be able to, I think you hear the polka just from my base in front of my house. So, I mean, that one's an easy one. So, but if I get something that's above the peak of the house, then I think I'll have a lot better time.
All right, I'm scanning through the A side on mine. There's a Port Huron Township, Avoca 1, Bell River, which you're talking about, and then Alpha 3. Alpha 3 is at the airport, so you'd definitely be able to hit that. You might be able to hit that with an HT right now.
That's VHF or UHF?
Alpha 3 is VHF, Bell River VHF, Avoca VHF, and Port Huron Township is UHF. 444 dot something.
Yeah, I'm going to try it. I don't have all the frequencies in there. I use repeater bulletin. If it's not in there, then I don't put it in. But yeah, if you got that one, Port Huron Township, UHF, and the other ones, just text them to me. I'll put them in my HD when I get home.
Let me just email you my ICOM and Yaesu band plan, whatever you want to call it. It's all in there, just one page each, and that way you can just take a look and see what you might want. All right, Tom, safe travels. I'll cut you loose for now. Hope to hear you on the net tonight. This is NAWRO.
Yep, I'll be on there in about an hour. Should be home by then. either by EchoLink or by HP. Let's see how it goes. KJO.
PR test. 1, 2. Test.
Test 1, 2.
WAPD, ABPR.
Where'd you call me at, WAPD?
Both places.
What's up? I can go over to the other place if you want.
Yeah, go over there, ABPR.
WAPD.
Yeah, I'm back here. Yeah, I said, so the ICOM came. It's pretty sweet.
It's nice. Have you put any digits in it yet or done anything with it, or have you just been admiring it like I would?
No, I've played out. I'm doing some
basic programming on it, and it seems to work. It's basically brand new. I mean, it's got all, everything like it came from the factory. I think it was used as a demo. And it just had some GMRS stuff programmed in it, but it's absolutely spinking new.
Nice. So this is P25 UHF ICOM.
Yep. I'm programming. I just did some just talk around between my HT and that, and it works. So I'll play around with getting more things programmed into it as you know, over the weekend and stuff. But it seems to be in perfect condition, and it came with the software and everything that works great. Trying to figure out what everything does is a little challenging, but we'll figure it out. The only thing I still need is I want to get that service manual. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll take a look at that guy's site and see what he's looking for. I doubt if I have something he doesn't. Like I said, I've sent him things before, and he comes back and says, that's already a guy kind of condescending when you send him stuff. So I kind of thought, okay, I'll work around you. But I just couldn't believe that I couldn't get it. It might not even need to be tuned. You could probably just go ahead and check it. But just a sweep, you know, see where it transmits and call it there, you know.
Yeah, well, I found it some company that supposedly has the hard copy of it. I sent him a message asking if he had a PDF. I haven't heard back yet.
Very good. Make sure you post a picture of it. I'd like to see it. Pretty excited. What vehicle are you going to put this in?
No, I think this is going to be my base station.
Yeah, well, right now what I'm using is an XDL 2500 VHF as a base for P25. And there's so much darn talk on DMR lately. I put my DMR XPR back on the desk because I've only got one antenna, you know, outside, and then I've got a duplexer coming into the house, you know, just one of those DX Engineering Comet, I'm not sure what the brand is, that I split it, and it works remarkably well.
Yeah, sure, that's no problem. I'm hoping, right now I've got my HT, I got a switch to switch it off, my beam off of the radio it's on to that thing, and but apparently even that's not working great, as we just tried. And so it just needs more power, so when I get the other one hooked up, hopefully I can use one of my lesser antennas and it should work.
Yeah, I have a ball antenna, a little tram, UHF only. I should find a place to hide that outside. Then it's another wire. What the hell? I've got too many wires running now. What's one more, right? So I'll probably be able to do that. So, you know, the other way you could check if you wanted to check it is just go at it with your, you got a Pi-Star, right? Or what do they call them, MDVMs nowadays? I've checked things with that and been pretty darn close. P25 DMR, it's not very forgiving. You'll see all sorts of high error rates. You know that. I'm sure you've messed with that stuff enough.
Yeah, whatever. It'd be nice to be able to see what my RSSI is. I don't know if that's Sean, if that's even feasible.
Yeah, that would be nice too. But if you've got the equipment, you can get the manual on. See if I got my phone on. Give me a call. I'll tell you where I find some of this stuff. Give me a phone call.
Okay. Okay, give me a few minutes. I got to worry about my phone. All right, ABAP.
That's what I use my watch for mostly, to find my phone. But ABAP.